Turn your Bibles, if you would, to the Judges, chapter 14 and verse 4. You're there? The 14th chapter. Let me start out with verse 1. One day when Samson was in Timnah, one of the Philistine women caught his eye. When he returned home, he told his father and mother, "A young Philistine woman in Timnah caught my eye. I want to marry her. Get her for me." His father and mother objected. "Isn't there even one woman in our tribe or among all the Israelites you could marry? Isn't there even one woman in the church or among the church folks that you could marry?" they asked. "Why must you go to the pagan Philistines to find a wife?" But Samson told his father, "Get her for me. She looks good to me." Verse 4. His father and mother didn't realize the Lord was at work in this, creating an opportunity to work against the Philistines who ruled over Israel at that time. Verse 4 in the New American Standard Bible. However, his father and mother did not know that it was of the Lord, for he was seeking an occasion against the Philistines. Now at that time, the Philistines were ruling over Israel. Father, open our minds that we may see the wonderful things in your law. Open our hearts to take heed to all that you have to say. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. I want to talk to you for a few minutes from this thought. Not accidental, but incidental. Not accidental, but incidental. An accident is that which happens within the course of normal events that is not normal to that situation. It is not what we expected, and it was not supposed to be. Oftentimes it is unwanted, it is undesirable, an accident. And sometimes an accident has some painful, harmful, negative circumstances attached to it. An incident is something that is a part of the normal course of events, but it cuts through unexpectedly. We did not see it, but it is a part of what's going on. Not accidental, but incidental. My wife and I were having a conversation with a dear friend of ours that we had reconnected, that I had actually reconnected with about a year ago. We came through in the same church, and then I went to pastor, and then subsequently he left the church that we were part of, and we had kind of lost touch with each other. And then about a year ago, 18 months ago, through a series of divine events, God saw fit to reconnect him and I together. And so we spent some time catching up with each other. And then for about 3, 4, 5 months, we didn't talk. We would try to connect, but we didn't. Our schedules made it difficult for us to reconnect the way we wanted to. But last week he called me and he said, "Look, Pastor, I have a situation. I need to ask you something, and I apologize because it's short notice, but I'm convening a marriage encounter at my church, and we are setting up a panel of married couples, and we're looking for married couples that fit a certain profile, that have a certain level of experience and longevity and stability, and then those who understand the environment of our church, which is an environment of diversity." He said, "And we had a couple, and they dropped out on us at the last minute, unexpectedly. And it kind of threw things into the monkey wrench. And my pastor said, 'Well, do you know somebody who can come in and fill the bill?' He said, 'And the Holy Spirit dropped you and Pastor Pat's name in my heart.' He said, 'Yes, I do.' And he called my name to the pastor. And the pastor said, 'Oh, yes, yes, get him.' Now, I didn't even know the pastor knew who I was. This is one of the larger churches in our area. And that's been happening a lot lately. Individuals who are large themselves have indicated that they know your pastor, who doesn't necessarily consider himself to be large on that level. It's been happening like that lately. It's been very interesting, Athara. It's been happening." And so he said, "Oh, yes." He See, if you can get him, if you can get them, yes, I sanction that. I approve. And so he called and he said, look, this is what I want to do. I said, okay, well, I need to get Pastor Pat on the line and see if she's okay with it. And then if she's okay with it, we can go further. And then I got Pastor Pat on the line. She said, I'm okay with it, whatever. Then he said, I need to call you all back so I can brief you on what to expect. And so we spoke to him this Thursday evening, and he began to share with us what the vision was. And lo and behold, the vision for the night is very akin and very similar to what happens on question and answer Sundays. So he began to share what he had, and then he was kind of, you can tell that he may have been a little tentative because of whether or not, you know, we would be comfortable with the environment. And I said to him, and my wife said to him, well, you know, we have questions and answers Sundays, and this is basically what we do. And he was shocked. And we began to roll out to him what we do. Questions and answers Sunday actually is a cut above what they're looking to do. And we gave him some pointers. You might want to do this. You might want to, I said, we created an email address that's specifically to field the questions because they want anonymity. I said, we got an email address that addresses that. And our administrator, senior administrator, fields them for us and she puts them on the screen. He was like, wow. He's like, this is incredible. He said, you don't know how I'm blessed by this. He said, and I'm now realizing that what God, what I thought was a drop in the event and a disruption, it was God all along. And then the Holy Spirit says, yeah. He speaks right through me. And he says, yeah, things may be accidental to our wishes, but they're incidental to his will. And he said, wow, Pastor. I said, yeah, that's the Holy Ghost. That's just a Verizon download, you know, because God has just given me this strange anointing where I just say things and, you know, it just comes out, you know. And I remember saying to him, we got to be more concerned. We got to be less concerned about our manhood and our womanhood and our godhood, more concerned with our godhood. And so when I begin to talk to him, begin to minister, I begin to hear God talking. And I got the phone with him and the Holy Spirit began to deal with me more. Because I was kind of stressing about a new series I want to begin titled Make Hard Choices. But I didn't want to begin it this month, you know, because our young people, it's their turn to be up again, and we want to make sure we give that to them. So I wanted to bring something to you that will kind of like be a bridge, so to speak, and not start the series and drop it. And then when I got the phone with him, I realized the Holy Ghost was talking. And he said, I want you to talk to my people about this. Not accidental, but incidental. So I began to think about, okay, well, where's the scriptural foundation for this? Because anytime God gives you a revelation, a rhema, he quickens it in your heart and your spirit, you should be able to substantiate it with a logos in the word. Amen? Brother seminary student, amen? You like that, right? That sound kind of professorial, right? Professorial or whatever. Y'all help me out. Y'all college students, what's the proper way to say it? We got one undergrad here and one master's and another undergrad. How do we say professorial? Did I get it right? Referring to as in a professor. Okay. Professorial? Okay, we got all these college students. Y'all didn't know that? Y'all say no idea? Okay, come on. Okay, so it sounds kind of professorial. Not accidental, but incidental. Okay? And so whenever we do things as far as the word is concerned and teaching from a professorial standpoint of view, we just don't want it to be heart and head knowledge that God says something to us that we cannot substantiate with the word. And the Holy Spirit said, well, think about Samson. This is why reading the word from cover to cover, reading the word of God from cover to cover, word for word, is so important. Because when the Holy Spirit begins to speak things to you spontaneously, you're able, because of what you put in there, to be subject to the Holy Spirit, bringing back to your remembrance, and you have the assurance that this is God. See, a lot of times we don't know whether or not it's God speaking because we didn't expose ourselves to God's writing. Tweet, okay? A lot of times we don't know that it's God speaking because we did not expose ourselves to God's writing. Oh, I like that. Oh, my God, I like that. Ooh, that's just off the chain. A lot of times we do not know it's God speaking because we have not exposed ourselves to his writing. We're coming and we're in a day and age where you don't have time to go look for a Bible verse. You only have time for it to be called up from already being inside you. So the Holy Spirit said, yeah, he said, think about what Samson. And this is one of my favorite verses, especially the way the New American Standard Bible puts it, that he was seeking an occasion against the Philistines. His father and his mother was upset. Now, you have to understand. Let me remind you what's going on in the backdrop here. Samson is this miracle child of these parents who are beyond the season of childbirthing. Okay, reproduction and childbirthing. Okay, Samson's father, I believe his name was Manoah. His plumbing had retired. Okay, his plumbing had retired, and then his wife, her whatever, had retired too. So they were past the age of being able to make babies. Nothing wrong with that. Absolutely nothing wrong with it. I'm glad I'm past the age of making babies in Jesus' name. Hiya. Okay, I'm not interested in getting started over, okay? You know, some men get to a certain point and, you know, they 55, 60, 70 and having a baby. Not me. No. So nothing wrong with that. But see, God had a plan. And he wanted to do something spectacular with his people. So he came into this couple. And you notice that's something with God, where he shows up with folks who are past human ability. And he says, now this is my opportunity. That's a habit with God. It happened with Abraham and Sarah. It happened with John. It happened with Zechariah and Elizabeth. Okay, it's just a habit with God. He has a way of showing up when we're at the place of human extremity. He says, now this is my opportunity. And so he says to them, you're going to have this child, but he's going to be a Nazarite all of his life. And there were certain stipulations and restrictions and constrictions in the spirit of consecration that he had to honor so he could be set aside to be used of God for this special assignment in delivering the children of Israel. All right? Certain things he just could not do. He couldn't have strong drink. His hair had to be long. He couldn't touch dead bodies. Okay? All the days of his life, it is what is known as a Nazarite vow, but it was a perpetual, permanent Nazarite vow. If you remember Numbers, I believe it's the 6th chapter. So we come now to the beginning of this chapter, and they're supposed to keep him in consecration. But now here he comes. He's still a normal, full-blooded male who likes females. Amen. What did I say? Normal, full-blooded male who likes full-blooded male who likes females. There's a particular group of individuals that practice a faith, and part of the stipulations of their faith is they require the ministers or the preachers to be unmarried. I don't understand it. It couldn't be me. I've got to have me a wife. And that's why I have one. Because there's certain aspects of the ministry you need a safety net, and you need to be covered, and you need to be protected. Because the things of God have a way of stimulating you certain ways. So the issue was not him having a wife. The issue was where he wanted to go to get one and who he wanted that wife to be. Just sidebar, you can't marry anybody you want to if you're a believer. And even if you're not a believer, you really shouldn't just marry anybody you want to. Because you're marrying their destiny and they're marrying your destiny. And you want to be sure that the marriage of these two destinies creates a dream and not a nightmare. You understand what I'm saying? And so now they understand that this vow of consecration and this requirement that's on his life, and now he wants to go to the heathens, to the pagans, to the unbelievers, to the rancor sinners, the ones who are oppressing them, and get himself a wife. And so his mama says, can't you just get you a nice church girl? Sometimes they are some of the worst ones. And this would be an equal opportunity. Can't you just get you a nice church boy? And sometimes they are some of the worst ones. When I was growing up, the young people that was in church did stuff that the sinners cringed at. Let's tell the truth, okay? And okay, I'm grown up now, and I'm a preacher, and I see things that preachers and pastors and the people of God do that makes the sinners like go, whoop! A Snoopy moment. Okay. They know there's something wrong with that. There's something wrong with that. And so they intervene. Can't you get one of the church girls, one of the nice church girls? And he said, no, get her. I want that one. I want that one that's wearing, what y'all wearing? Because the weather's getting warm now. You see clothes coming off? Spandex. Spandex is satanic. Spandex. You know, spandex is enough. Okay, so, you know, you want the ones that's wearing the spandex. Can't you get the ones that's wearing a nice frilly gown? And he was like, no. Get her for me. Get that one. For she pleases me. And then the verse cuts in and says, but his father and mother did not know that this was God, because he was seeking an occasion against the Philistines. So now we come fast forward, and I gave you the introduction about how this started. And now I want to present to you that the things that you think are accidental, are incidental. They thought this was an accident. They thought that this was a flub, a major dub, a mess up. They thought it was an accident. They didn't realize it was an incident, that it was part of what God was doing in the bigger scheme of things. So what are the things that are happening in your life that you think, oh my God, this word is for you, that you think is an accident? And God is saying, no, it's an incident. I'm coming in here to introduce this event, to turn the course of events, because there's a direction I want to send you in that you are not going in. It's not an accident. It's an incident. See, if God had not inserted himself in Samson's situation incidentally, then the narrative would have read differently, because that started him down the path of contesting with and contending with and wrestling with and going after the Philistines, going after his mission, going after his assignment. That what you think is an accident, God said it's no, it's an incident, because now I'm ready to fulfill purpose and destiny in you, and I've got to do something to push you in that direction, because if I don't, you'll just keep going the other way. But because you weren't thinking about the way God wanted to do it, you think it's an accident, but God said no, it's an incident. And I begin to think about the things that happened in Scripture that appeared to be an accident, but it was an incident. And the most glaring for me, the most glaring example, just was Joseph. It appeared to be an accident that his brothers put him in the pit and sold him into slavery. But it was an incident, because had he not gone into the pit, he would not have gone into the prison, but ultimately wound up in the palace. It was incidental to God marching him towards his purpose and his destiny. We establish everything by two or three witnesses. So let's just do one more witness. It appeared to be an accident to the 11 disciples, because Judas had checked himself out. It appeared to be an accident that the Savior, the Prince of Life, the Son of the living God. Peter said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And he got commended. And the scripture says, Simon, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but it was my Father. It appeared to be an accident that the Son of God, the Son of Man, was hung up on a cross and stretched wide. Blood running out of him, subjected to some of the most horrific, or perhaps the most horrific torture that any human being could be subjected to. That appeared to be an accident, but no, it was incidental. Because God looked down through time and saw May 21st at 12:06 p.m. when there would be a group of individuals seated in a room who came into his presence and stopped their routine of life for a few moments so they can just get a little bit more of God and then go back to experience the abundant life they know. I got to put this incident here because when I put my son up on that cross, he goes down into the grave, lays there for 3 days, and comes back up again. Now it becomes an incident to allow them to keep going to the place where I want them to go. It's not an accident. It's an incident. It's not accidental. It's incidental. So now what you and I have to do is we have to do a check, number one, of ourselves. What's in you that keeps you, if you blood-bought, blood-washed, walking with the Lord Jesus Christ, he's your Savior. What is it that keeps you from not recognizing the difference between the accidents and the incidents? What's in you? I got to do a check of myself. I got to see where I wandered off from God. I got to see where I've been following afar. I got to see where I have been neglectful in the spiritual disciplines. I got to see where I have been wholehearted in my allegiance to God. I got to do a check of myself. What is it in me that's putting me in a place where there is a propensity for me to not understand the differences between the accidents and the incidents? I had a situation this week, I'm going to call it out because of what it is. But I had an incident this week with Adara, and God has blessed her and put her up in a place of prominence on social media that was really was quote unquote an accident, but now we know it's an incident. But just one day, out of a place of just cathartic, therapeutic release, after having gone through some things, sat down and did this thing called memeing, and made a little simple memeing post just to get personal therapeutic release, and on a goof released it in social media, and that first meme blew up. And the next thing she knows, she has this audience. And it just keeps growing and widening and expanding. And now on Instagram alone, there's over 83,000 people following her. So, you know, we all know she's getting married, and she puts up some pictures of her and her fiance celebrating the moment. And one of them is just a little, what happened to Pastor Pat? Okay. Oh, okay. Okay. Well, y'all have to imagine this because I can't use none of y'all to do this. All right. So, you know, they're posing and they just got their faces turned towards each other with their lips barely touching in a kiss. And so now, you know, there are a lot of people that are blessed by it, but then here comes religious trolls. Religious trolls. Oh, do you think you ought to be doing that? Oh, woman of God, the influence that you have, yada, 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 yada. You know. So I was good until she sent me an email. I'm getting to a point I want to show you something. One of the reasons why we can't recognize the difference between accidents and incidents. Okay. I was good until she sent me an email about one of the critiques, the criticisms, the corrections and love that she got from somebody in Africa. And the person started out real good. They used the sandwich effect. They started out with a compliment, then they went into the criticism, and then they ended with a compliment. And so, I thank God for, you know, how he's using you and the example that you are, yada, 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 yada. And then went into the critique. You have to be very careful that you do not allow yourself to become a stumbling block, because people are watching you. Now young people who I had following you are a little confused and disturbed because they see you in a kiss. I said, okay. Yeah. I said, okay. Oh, you'll be surprised, the religious spirits out there. You'd be surprised. I said, okay. I said, I'm going to answer this. And she's like, whoa, daddy. No, this I'm going to answer. When I got through with her, when I got through with that lady, she says, thank you, Pastor Darren. Adara is blessed to have somebody like you. Have a nice day. One of the things I put in her there with her, I said, we got a problem in the body of Christ. We have imbalance when we take these extremes, and we have to learn the difference between stumbling blocks and stumbling. We're more concerned with people being stumbling blocks to us than us ourselves stumbling. And you got to do a check in yourself to see if you're at that place where you're more preoccupied with the externals of what's going to cause you to stumble, as opposed to you taking heed to yourself so that you walk in such a way so that you don't stumble. That's one of the reasons why we can't recognize the difference between the check, the incidents and the accidents. You got to check yourself. And then once you check yourself, then start checking things. So you got to, it starts from the inside out. This lady's coming at her from the outside in. No, anybody who wants to sin, they're going to sin anyway, whether somebody puts something out there external or they don't. When they're ready to do something, they're going to do it. And I said to her, what you need to do is you need to teach these young people that you claim you have influence with. Give them 1 Thessalonians 4:4. Let everyone possess their own vessel as a vessel to honor. And in this way, as they're doing that and they're endeavoring to walk with the Lord to not stumble, if there's a stumbling block, they will do one of three things. They will either go over it, go around it, or move it out of the way. I had had enough. And I said to her, from now on, going forward, Adara has two parents who are two pastors, and her fiance's mother is a pastor. Let us correct her. You got an issue, you run it by me. Somebody said, oh, here come pastor with thug life. Because I'd had enough. I'd had enough. You came for my daughter. Now I'm coming for you. Once you do a check of yourself, now you want to do a check of your circumstances and situations to see if you're able to recognize the difference between the accident and the incident. And see, what happens with an accident, what do when we have accidents? We immediately shift into gear to undo the damage. Because this was not what we desired. This is not what we wanted. This should not have been. But you know what? If you see something as an accident, that's an incident, you could very well be undoing the move of God in your life. So once you've dealt with yourself, see what's in you that's causing you to miss it, and you've gotten that right, now you want to look through that lens governed by the Holy Spirit to see, okay, this is an accident, that's an accident, and this is an incident, and that's an incident. And by the way, not only does it become that, but it becomes those too. And it works the inverse, because there are some things we are treating as incidental that we need to treat as accidental. Oh, God. There are some people that we're treating as incidental. We need to treat them as accidental. So we got to learn the difference. We got to learn the difference. And what the Spirit of the Lord wanted me to say to you all this morning, on the first side of it, things that are happening in your life that are undesirable, not what you wanted, not what you planned, he's saying it's not accidental, but it's incidental. And you want to wait. You want to spend time waiting in his presence. You want to spend time waiting on him until you get a clear signal. No, no, no. This is not an accident. It's an incident. This is me. Let's go back to the New American Standard Bible version of the verse. He said, they didn't know that the Lord was seeking an occasion against the Philistines. And God wants you to know he's seeking an occasion against the devil. Hallelujah! I felt it. He's seeking an occasion against the things that the enemy has been doing in your life. He's seeking an occasion against generational curses. He's seeking an occasion against long-term strongholds and bondages. He's seeking an occasion against the poverty. He's seeking an occasion against the sickness. He's seeking an occasion against the loneliness. He's seeking an occasion. He's seeking an occasion. And if you don't know that it's him at work, you'll call it an accident and try to get away from it. Try to undo it. Try to minimize the damage when it's like, no, this is me. And I've decided that I'm tired of the devil, and now I'm coming after him. He said, I'm tired of him, and I'm coming after him. So this is me. I'm looking. Now, here's the interesting thing. What I find very peculiar about the verse, it says God is seeking an occasion. Well, he sees everything. If he sees everything, he doesn't have to look for anything, right? But no, here's the revelation. He's seeking the situation and the people that are going to be open to allow him to move the way he wants to move. Did you get it? Because he doesn't force himself on anybody. So he says, okay, I'm go here. Is this door open? No. The revelation says in the third chapter, behold, I stand at the door and I knock. You knock on the door because you can't come in unless you're invited in. Now, he could barge in, but the Holy Spirit, who is God, does not go anywhere he's not invited. So he's looking for the situation. He's looking for the people that are open, that are yielded, that are submitted, that says, yes, God, even though it may not be what I like because you are what I love, come in and have your way. Seeking, I'm getting happy about it. He's seeking an occasion. Will you be the occasion? That's what you got to ask yourself. Will you be the occasion that he's looking for? And listen, he's coming for a reason, but you got to work with him. And Samson went through with that particular situation. Now, he didn't judge himself the way he should have, because eventually the honeys became his downfall. He had a thing for the honeys. He had a thing for the shorties. What else we say? The who? Say it again.
The thotties?
The thotties? What is it? Okay, educate me. I'm seeking an occasion of education. Okay, what does that refer to?
It's low grade. It's not me.
It's low grade?
Lower thigh.
Oh, okay. Okay. So he had a thing for the thotties. Okay. No. Based on the spirit of the text, that's the way his parents felt. They felt like this is a thotty. It works for me. Listen, y'all know me. I'll just take anything and put it in it and preach for the purposes of relevance. Okay? Because you're getting it. And he didn't judge himself, especially. I kind of like it. Thank you very much. It was the Holy Ghost. Okay. I'm going to tell you why. He didn't judge himself because it was the thotties that got him in trouble. The thotties got him into some hotties. And he got burned. He got into some hot stuff with the thotties. He got into some hot stuff. And he got burned. One of the things that got burned was his eyesight. Watch what you look at. Watch what you look at. See, that's another check that we got to do about why we can't discern the difference between accidents and incidents. How you looking? What you looking at? And now the weather is turning, you're going to be given many occasions to look. Okay? You're going to be good. So you better, and don't listen. Let me help some of you out. Because now some of y'all, so you know, church folks and saints, especially the ones that listen, y'all are slick. Somebody come walking past you in the satanic spandex, okay? And you'll say, oh, you know what? This is an incidental because she came my way. No, that's an accident. Let me help you. That's an accident. You don't want to mess with that. He didn't judge himself, and it cost him dearly. And he got the victory, but he had to be a victim to get the victory. Well, how so, Pastor? He had to die in order to conquer. As he tore that temple down, he died with those Philistines. And in the Hall of Faith, he's listed there, but with an asterisk. Don't be like that. Learn the difference between the things that are accidental and incidental. And before you're so quick to dismiss, this is not God. Wait. Wait on God in worship. Wait on God in praise. Wait on God in prayer. Wait on God in the word. Wait until you have a clear signal that the Spirit of God has spoken and shown you the way that things are going. And then you're able to flow in line with that. So I close today to tell you that the Holy Ghost wants you to know it's not accidental, but it's incidental. Bow your heads. Father, we give you